Go to everydaynovelist.com/support to join the madness.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, and what the hell, we're still here after all these years, talking creativity, business, art, discipline, and just about everything else we can think to cram into the writing life. Welcome to The Questions, episode 1106. Today we hear from Indiana Jim, who asks...
You've spoken before about how ADD and its derivatives can be a boon to the creative person, and the dangers of medicating it out. What are some ways the writer can manage the symptoms while appreciating the benefits?
The basic answer is one that's going to piss everybody off, but you have to construct your life so that the ADD isn't deleterious. If you want to be extracting maximum benefit. So here's the thing.
And this is also the case with all sorts of disorders.
Yeah, whether they're actually disorders or just maladaptions. A healthy amount of what psychologists call disorders, like ADD, aren't disorders. What they are is they're ways the mind can work that were adaptive in a previous environment that are not well adapted to industrial civilization. Especially industrial civilization filled with white-collar jobs. Humans are not... We've only been in this environment for about a century on a mass scale, and really only 50 years where more than half of the people have been living an urban type of life.
Mm-hmm.
Humans are not designed to live the kind of highly regularized life that we expect them to live in our modern world.
Right.
And because we're not designed for this, we don't work very well in these kinds of environments outside of a certain range. There's a certain subset of the human population who can slot into this pretty well, and then the rest of us have problems. Sometimes those problems get labeled as stuff like ADD. What's ADD? Well, there is a really quirky neurological variant that can actually be detected on CAT scan or on MRIs or fMRIs or something like that. That's a very small subset of the people who get thusly diagnosed. Mostly, people who get thusly diagnosed are people who are bored. What are some of the basic symptoms of ADD? And I haven't looked it up in a while, so I'm pulling it off the top of my head. So, Kitty, if I'm missing anything important, and you can think of it, you let me know. The basic symptoms of ADD. Difficulty concentrating on large projects. The tendency to get lost in rabbit holes. Difficulty keeping a schedule. Now, those first two symptoms already give the game away. Difficulty concentrating on large projects and the tendency to get lost in a rabbit hole. What's a rabbit hole? It's a large research project. It's a large, or it's a, if it's a hobby rabbit hole or a video game, it's a large fucking project.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is not that the ADD person can't complete large projects, is that they're not interested in the projects that they are obligated to. So the number one way to deal with that is to do projects you're interested in. The number two way to deal with that is to cultivate a broader spectrum of, forget interests, absolute obsessions.
Mm.
Cultivate obsessions so that you have more ways to connect what you have to do to the obsessions. The third way is to reduce the amount of easy stimulation hits that you get. This is one of the reasons that video games are destructive for a lot of creative people. It's because they are so well designed to hold your interest for a lot of using a lot of very sophisticated behavioral psych techniques that you can't crawl out of them to do something that is more self-directed. One of the things about creativity is that it's an exercise in a rhythm between fragmentation and unity. You have fragmented thoughts, and then they synthesize together into a beautiful idea. And you turn that idea, if you're good at completing your projects, you turn that idea into something tangible that you can then sell or give or share with others.
Hmm.
If you have a set of hobbies, or if you have a life that rewards the fragmentation and rewards it so well that you never go through the unity phase, you stay completely scattered the whole time. Sometimes things like meditation, and I don't necessarily mean Buddhist-style meditation, I mean just deliberate quiet time, walking in nature, being in low-activation, high-stimulus environments is really, really good for ADD.
You should expand on what you mean by that.
Okay. The world that you are living in your house, is a high-activation, low-stimulus environment. The everything around you, unless you've got houseplants, everything around you, aside from the people and the pets, are man-made objects.
Okay.
And most of them are machine-made objects. So they do not have much in them that bows to chaotic mathematics. This is really, I understand that this is a weird angle, but this is what stimulates the brain, is chaotic mathematics. Chaotic forms are objects and environments that have multi-layered self-similarity. It's why really, really good rock music and good classical music and whatnot seems to repeat so many phrases. There's so much repetition, yet it's so satisfying. It's because the brain craves nested self-similarity. When you go out in the forest or in a canyon, but let's say a forest, because I have a forest right here in front of me. When you're in a forest, what are you seeing? Yeah, you're seeing a bunch of trees. You're seeing a bunch of grass. That's not what your deep brain is seeing. What your deep brain is seeing is patterns that all echo one another like poetry. You have the tree. Well, the tree is like the grass. It grows out of the ground. And then every branch that grows off of the tree gives the tree a shape like a river delta. And then every twig that grows off the branch looks the same. Not identical to, but it reminds you of the structure of the branches growing off the tree. And then the leaves growing off the twigs, well, if you look at them, they have a veiny pattern that looks very like the structure of the tree as a whole. Every layer of structure is an echo and an improvisation on the previous layer. Nature is jazz played with sunshine and sugars. And what your brain craves is stimulation that echoes that kind of a natural environment. Now, if you can get it by going out in nature, you can get it by listening to really good music. And by good, I don't mean stuff that's to my taste. I mean stuff that is well constructed. And you can get it by reading good books and watching good movies. But what the mind of the person who is easily distracted is desperate for multi-layered nested self-similarity. It is searching for order. It is desperate to experience order that is complex, not complicated, complex. Complexity is that multi-layered self-similarity. Bringing that into your life is soothing. Now, it can also be exciting, but you want your life, if you have these kinds of focus problems, you want your life to consist of high stimulation, low activation background, because that occupies all that part of your brain that was evolved to live in a natural environment, and it's not going crazy trying to figure out how to make sense of the white room. Once you get that taken care of, you move on to more practical things, things that are more visible to you, like making sure that you have challenge that is scaled appropriately for your ability level. You want to be tackling things that make you stretch a little bit, occasionally a lot. Occasionally you want to tackle something that you could really fail at, but most of the time you want to be tackling things that stretch you a little bit so that the effort is rewarding. And then you get the win, and the win is rewarding. What you don't want are things that give you wins too easily so that the effort isn't rewarding. And you don't want things that burn you out because it's endless effort with no win. You want something that is difficult but achievable, and then you want to achieve, and then you want to repeat that, because that is what your system is designed for. And then when you rest, you want to actually rest. You don't want to fill your life with noise. If you're going to do something that is a high activation activity, and by activation I mean activates your adrenals, activates your stress response, that kind of thing. Don't do it by going to the mall and getting overwhelmed by all the people being noisy around you. And I know the malls don't exist anymore, but you know, whatever. Do it by going to a ball game if you're into sports, or do it by going surfing or skydiving, something that'll give you a really intense experience, hopefully one that's also augmented by some kind of community bonding, because humans respond best to bonding in the context of intense experiences. If you have intense experiences on your own, they still can be quite lovely, but they are isolating because you don't share that intense context with your fellows. This is why going to horror movies alone is an interesting story, and going to horror movies with a date gets you laid.
I was oddly enough going to ask about high intensity activities and sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, masturbating gives you a wonderful, a pleasurable stress release, but having sex gives you much, much more. Human beings are social creatures that evolved in a natural environment, and the world that we live in is not designed for us. It's designed for the machines we built to serve us. And because of that, being in this world drives us insane. So what you want to do is you want to construct your personal world so that it brings as much of an echo of that natural world back as possible.
Do you have any thoughts on routines and scheduling and that sort of thing as an aid or a detraction to ADD?
Well, routines and scheduling are what you want to get to, but it's really hard to do that if you can't settle that part of your mind down, so that you can find a groove and concentrate. If you aren't constantly activated, then meeting a routine is pretty easy, even if you're not someone who likes routines. Ask me how I know. But if you are constantly activated, you could be standing in a prison camp with someone holding a gun to your head, and you'd still be having trouble remembering what your schedule is. People try to make up for this kind of thing, starting in grade school. We try to fix this problem by forcing conformity, by putting immense performance pressure. And that doesn't actually fix the problem. It just makes the person cave in. And if you wind up managing to extract compliance, you usually do it at the expense of the well-being of the person who's complying. What you want to be doing, if you want a life that is flourishing, is you want to be able to comply when necessary in an effortless fashion. And you do that when your drives and your gifts are all aligned. And if you're dealing with the kind of scattered thoughts that ADD is characterized by, you're not going to do that, because the definition of scattered chaotic thoughts is that they're not aligned. So what you have to do is you have to align that layer of the self. And that layer of the self in our world is craving deep, high levels of stimulation, not high levels of activation. Does that make sense?
So what you're saying is that you fix the mental, the stimulation problems before fixing the scheduling problems.
Yeah. And what the drugs do is the drugs kick the mind into an artificial high gear, where it all focuses by itself, because the drugs are amphetamines, and that's what uppers do. That fixes the symptom, it doesn't fix the problem. And your biochemistry can eventually become dependent upon that in order to function normally.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to avoid chronic use of drugs, specialized, deliberate use of drugs, and ritualized use of drugs. Both can be very healthy, but chronic dependency even on something that isn't damaging in any obvious fashion, is usually deleterious to quality of life. Usually. Occasionally, it really, really helps. But not in the amounts that we're seeing them prescribed. Anyway, that's what I got. Thank you very much for the question, Jim. I hope it was helpful. And we'll see you tomorrow. The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and Kitty Nakian and is distributed by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text and production are copyright 2024 J. Daniel Sawyer. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license, and all other rights are reserved to the author. All of you have made this podcast possible for the last few years with your support and with your questions. And now I'm going to ask you for one more thing, reviews. We've got to spread the word and get the Everyday Novelist out to the new generation of writers that are coming online and are lost, swimming out there on the internet with no hope of solidarity because, hey, the world's a fractious place. So if you could take a moment and leave a review at one or two places, or post about us on your favorite social media venues, we would be ever so grateful. We cannot do this without you.